Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your peaceful night and for your continued watch over us and our household. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, before we continue, I'd just like to highlight a couple of things before we continue. The scripture says, but without faith. Notice it didn't say, but without worship. It did not say, but without prayer. And it certainly did not say, but without tithes and offering. It said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that should let us know that faith must be important to God. I believe outside of being born again, the next thing we as Christians should have a complete understanding is, what is faith? Because without it, it is impossible to please our Heavenly Father. I'm going to entitle this teaching, We must know the reality of God's word. We must know the reality of God's word. Now, many of us as Christians are living a weak life. Many of us as Christians live on the weak level of inadequacy. Many of us as Christians live on the weak plateau of defeatism because we have not risen to the level of strength where our Heavenly Father meant for us as Christians to live. Amen. In Ephesians 6:10, it simply says, or it encourages us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It tells us to be strong. And God would never tell us to do something that He doesn't not know that we can already do. Amen? No one can be strong in the Lord without being strong in faith. Therefore, I'm going to talk about we must know the reality of God's word, the six principles of attaining strong faith. Now, our last time together, we have gotten to the point where we have to rise up on the plateau of strong faith. We have to rise up on the plateau of strong faith. Until you know and understand the reality of the presence of God in your own spirit, you will never be able to exercise strong faith. You will never arrive at strong faith. You will be a baby in your spiritual life. You will be a victim of your own circumstances. Too many Christians are just that, victims of their own circumstances. They are broke down and beat down by the blows of tribulations. They are beat down by the storms of adversity. They are buried deep by Satan and his demons because they don't know how to rise up on the plateau of strong faith. They are down in the depths of the darkness with weak faith because they don't know the reality of God's word. Amen. They haven't learned that the words of God are spirit and they are life. The words of God are spirit and they are life. They don't know that they can feed upon them. Please go to the book of Psalm chapter 34. Again, Psalm 34. And we're going to read verse number 8. And it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Now, not only is the word of God good to your taste, but you are blessed through them and will have strong faith. When the forces of evil come against you and the word of God, you can boldly stand and say, "I resist you by the authority of the name of Jesus." Amen. Because you know the authority of your words. And those forces will have to come to an abrupt halt. Amen. They have to stop. They have no effect in your personal lives. God's word will set you free and you will have complete liberty. Amen. Complete liberty in the things of God. Now, there are many Christians that dabble in the word. They play with the word just like a little child plays with his toys. And most of the time, that child ends up either breaking them or just leaving them alone. There are some who come to the word and nibble around like a little bird. Then there are some who come like pigs and gorge themselves on the word. They get fat, good, and full. Some get so fat that they can't move around. Now, that might sound like a negative analogy, but it illustrates a truth that we can see. You ought to gorge yourself on God's word. You know, That's the only thing that we see in the Bible that doesn't say that it's wrong to be a glutton about. And that's the word of God. You can eat all you want and get as full as all you want on the word of God. It tells you about being a glutton about physical food, but nowhere in the word does it even say to limit yourself on the word of God. No, you can eat all you want because you know what? The word is good. Amen. No, just eat until your heart's content with the word because it's good. Have you tasted to see that the word of God is good? It's a living thing. It's alive. God's word imparts life to your spirit. Amen. It imparts life, not death. Not only is the word of God alive, not only is it a living thing, but God's word will see you free, free from fears, hang-ups, inabilities, weaknesses, free from anything that holds you in bondage. God's word will free you from that. Amen. Some of you, I cannot say for sure, could be slaves to certain things. Perhaps you are enslaved to sex or nicotine, drugs or alcohol or whatever. And you may be in denial and say, oh, I can quit anytime I want to. If strong drink masters you, it's your ruler. You are in bondage to that drink. You are just addicted to that as a heroin addict is addicted to heroin. Amen. Some of you are in bondage to fear. You are afraid of heights. You are afraid of the darkness. You are afraid of a dark house. You are afraid of this, afraid of that, or whatever it is, you are in bondage. Finally, some of you are afraid of dying. Amen. I said some of you are afraid of dying. Amen. Right now, as you're listening to this teaching, you are fearful of dying. It isn't just the older people either. Some young people are afraid of death. But when you realize and you understand what it's all about, then you will not be afraid to die. Go to the book of John, chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5. And we're going to look at something in regards to death. John chapter 5, and we're going to read verses number 24 and 25. It says, most assuredly, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Now we see here, it says, he who believes my word, first of all, who hears my word and then believes his word, or him who sent me, has everlasting life. Has what? Everlasting life. So that means you don't die. Everlasting? Everlasting means just that. Everlasting. It says, whom most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life, but has passed from death unto life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is now, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Amen. So, when you understand what death is all about, because it tells us that we have passed from death into life. So it's nothing to be afraid about. Amen. It's nothing to be afraid about. Now, finally, like I said, some of you are afraid of dying. Right now, as you're listening to this teaching, you are fearful of dying. And like I said, it's not just the older people. Some young people are afraid of death. I used to be afraid of death. Even after I became a Christian, I was still afraid of death. The thought of dying, because I didn't understand it. But I understand it now. I have clear revelation of death. I didn't know what the living word said about it. And I was fearful about death. I used to be afraid to fly on airplanes because of my fear of dying. I thought if I could just not fly, I would be safe. I really wasn't afraid of flying. Flying wasn't the issue. It was the fear of dying because I didn't know the living reality of the Word of God. Yes, I believed in Jesus and I was saved and I knew I was going to heaven when I die, but I didn't have victory in this life on this particular topic. Now I know what to do to keep that plane in the sky. I don't rely on the pilot or the co-pilot, and I don't rely on the mechanics. Sure, I pray for the co-pilots, the attendants and the mechanical operation of the plane, but I don't rely on them. I know what the word says about the situation. So if the engines fall off, the plane will still fly. I've been freed from that spirit of fear. I have been set free because I know the living reality of God's word. I know that His word is spirit and it's life. His word is spirit and it's life. I know that His word will sustain me. I know that His word will hold me up and keep me. Amen. I can stand on His word, and it's like standing on a solid rock foundation. Amen. And through the winds that blow around me, and the winds may howl and scream, I can stand there and look them directly in the face and laugh at them because the word is alive and true. Now, please turn to the book of John, chapter 8. The word of God is alive and it is true. John, chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 31 and 32. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him," he says, "if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, Jesus said, if you abide in my word. Now, that word abide is an interesting word because it means to continue or to take up residence in. So if you allow the word of God to take up residence in you and to continue to be there for your use, the word of God, it says, then you are his disciples indeed. And then he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He didn't say you would guess at it. He said you will know the truth. In his word, Jesus meaning an ongoing, consistent, uninterrupted, persistent connection with his word. That's what Jesus meant when he tells us, if my word abides in you, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus means that in his word, Jesus means that there will be a constant, uninterrupted, persistent connection with his word. So if you continue in his word, you will know the truth. And when you know the truth, you will be made free. Hallelujah. Being a child of God makes you liberated, free from all demonic circumstances. Amen. Free from all demonic circumstances, not some, but all. Now, what I am about to say, many of you are going to disagree with, but that's okay. It doesn't invalidate the word of God. It just means you disagree with me and you don't understand the reality of God's word yet. But you know what? You do not have to be sick. Yes, I said it. You do not have to be sick. No, you did not misunderstand what I said. I said, you do not have to be sick. Amen. When you know the reality of the word of God, when you have it literally inside of you, you will find that you don't have to be sick. And remember, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And again, that abide means to continue or to take up residence in. And so the word should take up residence in you where you can access it at any given moment. When you know the reality of the word of God, when you have it literally inside you, you will find that you don't have to be sick. It is not God's will that you go through one day of your life being sick. Remember, one of the seven redemptive names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say, I was the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say, I will be the Lord that healeth thee. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus, chapter 15. And we're going to read verse number 26. And it says, for I am the Lord who heals you. God is a now God, an everlasting present tense God. God spoke with Moses, remember, at the burning bush, telling him to go down and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Now, Moses responds by saying, how can he go and speak with the great king of Egypt? For he was nothing but a lowly sheep herder. They don't know my name or who I am, he told the Lord. But God was with Moses, and he told Moses to tell them that I am that I am. And we can find that in Exodus 3:14. The Lord God informed Moses, saying, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Amen. God has never been I was. God is always I am, present tense. And it's important that you understand it. He is not I have been or I was. God is always I am, present tense. He is whatever he is right now. For he is the Lord that heals you. You don't have to be sick, and you don't know the truth until you know his word, God's word. You don't have to be sick, but you won't know the truth until you know his word. You must understand the reality of the living word of God. You must understand it. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel became disobedient, they backslid, and they were walking in sin and not following the commandments of God, Satan oppressed, deceived, and brought sickness and disease into the nation of Israel. Being the gracious father that he is, the Lord said to the children of Israel, if you will turn to me and look to me, then I will take sickness away from the people. The Bible tells us when they turned to him in repentance, the children of Israel, he sent his word and healed them. Go to Psalms 107, please. The book of Psalm 107. And then from there, we want to look at verse number 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. And it says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Amen. So God sent his word and he healed them. Amen. Well, I'm just about out of time, but please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on when we continue our teaching on you must know the reality of God's word. But until then, remember these words. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117. Or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.